The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live, right now. On 105.9 FM, WMAL.
And welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. We are live in studio here today and on a changing weather here in the Northern Virginia area. It's getting a little bit cooler. It's feeling like fall. And that's not going to keep us out of the office and out of the studio for talking about some of the great things we can do. We tried and you applied, as Dr. Rozell said. And we're filling in while he is out of town. My name is Dr. Stephanie Pina. I'm a licensed acupuncturist at the Rozell Center for Healing. And I don't have to do it alone, as always. I have a great guest, and he's going to be your co-host and going to be actually your host on this Wednesday night, for a in-house educational lecture. And we're going to be talking about something that a lot of people come into the office with questions because they feel like they have this issue going on. They're sick of things hurting and complaining about it and not going anywhere, but there's a lot of know-how knowledge that we can apply naturally. And what is that? It's chronic arthritis. That's right, all the joint stuff. And so who better to be talking about that than Dr. Gadget himself, Dr. Scott
Lamp. You had to go there,
didn't you? I did. It's early.
Yep.
It's Dr. Scott Lamp, chiropractor at the Rozell Center for Healing, and he's going to be talking with you on this Wednesday night, November 13th at 7 p.m. at the Rozell Center for Healing, and we're going to talk about chronic arthritis today. Welcome.
Well, chronic arthritis and arthritis in itself, and I think it's one of those type of things that it was interesting. I was looking at the CDC about how prevalent it is, and they're talking about an estimate of 2013 to 2015, about 54.4 million people, and it's a lot more than that because, you know, when we kind of take incidentally, you find a lot more on things, on looking at x-rays and things, that you'll see some joint space things and like, well, what's that bone spur there? Why is your neck a little bit stiff? It's like a lot more common than the 54. You almost have to double or almost triple that amount to be able to really say who, you know, what the numbers are out there.
Right, and looking at numbers that of an actual diagnosis versus, you know, and sometimes when we see x-rays and people bring them in there, like you were saying, and see all the time, like, you're seeing stuff on there that's beyond a fracture and a break and, you know, the subluxations and stuff like that, but you're actually seeing what's going on with the joint spaces themselves and all the connective tissue that's surrounding there that is part of this.
Yeah, I think with the x-rays, too, you're looking at you can take indirect information, what the disc might look like. Because, again, there's certain definitions where we're looking for arthritis, especially when you're looking at x-ray. You're looking at things like, you know, joint space decrease, it's down, the cushion's not there, the cartilage is worn away. It's basically like an osteoarthritis, and we'll talk about that, what the differences are, those are in a minute. Then you can see things like even the bone seems whiter on x-ray. It's going to look like sclerosing or hardening that might be possibly happening. And then the other part of it is it's like bone spurs. And, you know, when it really comes down to arthritis, it's really taking the body and making it unstable. The body's trying to stabilize. And if it's trying to stabilize, then it's going to do things that, okay, we're going to swell this body part on you, and you still don't do anything about it, then we're going to start growing some bone spurs to try to keep things in place. And the thing is if you stabilize the system, you take a lot of strain off, and all of a sudden the arthritic-type problems start to go away. And then, of course, there's some chemical things we'll talk about in a minute.
Of course, yeah, we want to keep in check the biochemical, the structural, mental, emotional,
well,
as always, the tri-health.
You bet.
But if you have any questions, also on this topic, we're talking arthritis. It's something that we see quite often in the office, and a lot of people are looking for natural solutions, because perhaps the current solution they have isn't working. They're trying to prevent it, and everything else that goes along with it as far as function and mobility as well. You can give us a call here at the studio and talk to us live on air, and that number is 1-888-630-9625. Again, that number is 1-888-630-9625. And if you want to sign up and get your spot for this Wednesday night, you can either contact the office and we'll give you that number, or you can do it online as well too off of the Rozell Care website. Dr. Lamp,
yeah.
How often is someone coming in diagnosed versus we're really seeing issues that look like arthritis in development, and now we're trying to put the brakes on, that chronic inflammation and start that joint changes that you were mentioning earlier?
Seeing that the age demographic plays a big part to that, it's like almost, I would say, 90%, maybe even more, depending on what they're doing. I mean, you got people coming in for colds and things of that nature, but when you were looking at some of those things and you're talking about aches and pains generally, almost all those people will show some type of reactive, depending on the age situation. You got a young kid coming in, he sprains an ankle or something like that. We're taking care of those kind of things. You're not going to necessarily see that with, but that's not always true necessarily. I mean, I caught myself there a little bit looking at gymnasts, for example. You can have an aged gymnast of maybe age 20 who's been high level and been doing this for like 10 years or so, and then you'll start looking at them, they look like 40-year-olds on x-ray. So there are some things that a lot of these things, you're seeing a lot of those things there. The body has this great a way of just trying to push the pain away, but then all of a sudden there's a point of no return. And I think you're going to start looking at evidences that you got to stay, you know, symptoms you want to watch out for, that kind of telltale signs. And again, it's, you know, we're going to talk, maybe we should talk symptoms now. I mean, basically those type of things. And, you know, you got joint stiffness when somebody gets up and down from a chair and it just feels like their bones are cracking a little bit or whatever. They got swelling in certain joint areas. The first thing you kind of scratch in your head and say, probably an arthritic type thing, maybe either one that's systemic or one that's just the most common one. We'll talk the differences again about what osteoarthritis is as far as like, things like rheumatoid arthritis, which there's over 100 different types of arthritises. But again, they kind of have similar appearances where they break the joint space down. You got joint space irritation. You got swelling in the joints. You've got sounds that are made when you kind of move that joint. And we're talking about the spine and the hip and the knee and the elbows and the wrists and those kind of things. So
you're really seeing like a lot of like wear and tear, not only in the big joint spaces, but essentially into the smaller ones too, that might be kind of compensating in other areas, like you're saying, like the gymnast or the kid who basically started out and went hardcore athletics at the beginning, and now they're having similar symptoms than the person who's doing, you know, all the computer work later on in life.
Well, I think it's a lot to do with pressure on the body and how you apply the pressures, the age of the body and how good of the quality of the material you're dealing with. Again, that has to do with some of the chemistry that's involved, and lubrication. How well the lubrication is. And then you got to start looking at different societies. Why you take a look at an Asian society, for example, in hips and hip replacements, you know, that's again a chronic arthritis, a breakdown of the cartilage inside the hip joint. You know, we're looking at 300 to 400 hip surgeries per year in the United States. And you go overseas and you're like, wait a minute, they don't have as much. What's going on? So there's a nutritional component of it. There's also an exercise component of it, which you don't, I think in the United States, you don't exercise as much or movement as much as maybe some of the Asian cultures. You got things like Tai Chi and yoga and stuff of that nature that's part of their culture, where you don't have it necessarily so much in the United States. We have a maybe more sedentary lifestyle. But also there's some interesting things and interesting research papers out there talking about different things on inflammation from even things as even gut morphology. There's certain things that are there that seem to accelerate arthritis type things that a lot of people don't even know out there yet.
Right. And I think what's interesting is when you're looking up information on this, like whether it's the Arthritis Foundation or some of the other larger foundations that are putting a lot of good information out there to get people and, you know, to more informed. It's always interesting because they'll say, well, there's these possible links between arthritis and diet, or possible links between feeling weather changes and is it really a joint pain or is it all in your head? Or, you know, we're seeing a little bit more of these possibilities come to fruition, really.
Right.
And they just come into the office all the time. And even patients are noticing this, too. I mean, they're the ones telling us, hey, I eat this or I do that. And all of a sudden, you know, I don't feel so good anymore.
Thanks for it. Well, just take the thought process of inflammation, you know, and your good knowledge in regards to a great knowledge in nutrition. Anytime you get an inflammatory element, you're going to hold water. You're going to pull water in the system. Where's the water going to collect? Where's it going to have a place for expansion? A lot of times it's in the joint. So if I do have an allergy reaction and I feel puffy, what's that doing to the joint? And you're going to put undue pressures and chemical irritations in those particular points. How often have you had somebody who is eating, maybe have a gluten reaction and they get stiffness in their hands? And so it's kind of like all these other things come into play. How good is my diet? How good do I push more inflammatory elements. There's a lot of different things that cause inflammation. A lot has to do with the gut. And then there's a lot of things in regards to even like not even sleeping. Does that cause lack of sleep, cause inflammation in the body, doesn't clear things? Or autoimmune diseases in different parts, can that eventually have an effect on some of these joint places? So.
Yeah, I always think it's interesting looking at some of the comorbidity stuff with it, morbidities, and then, you know, the fact that you bring up sleep, the fact you bring up lack of function, the fact that even there's a higher risk of arthritis because of inflammation with heart disease and stroke. Yep. And so really when you're looking at all these other factors, it seems like it's kind of like the joints are getting left out of the picture here on this.
Yeah. Well, I think it's – I notice on x-rays it's kind of interesting too. When you're taking a look at, let's say, a cervical spine. And cervical spine means the neck. There's seven bones of the neck there. And down, lower down in T1, T2, T3 gets around the cardiovascular relationships in the nervous system. So C1, C2 has to do with some things with – or T1, T2, coronary artery. T3 has to do with the area of the spine that has to go with the lungs. But when we start seeing arthritis is there, it also could mean possibly going hand in hand with maybe some type of arterial problem. Like I'm not getting good blood flow there. If I have an arterial problem where I'm not getting blood flow to the joint, that's going to compromise because I'm not feeding the joint. So the joint gets deteriorated. So there's other things that kind of overlap. If you see some arthritis in the spot and say, I wonder what kind of cardiovascular problem this person has, or vice versa, you'll see some of those type of things.
Right. And looking at bones and joints, not just for the skeletal reasons, but right, really as a function of other parts of the body.
Overall health. What's the, you know, from top to down? I mean, that's one of the things we seem to do really well is the whole picture of the human body, not just going to figure, oh, this is just a bone problem. I got a thing out of place. So I'm just going to put it back. Got to go questions why. And I think the other thing is also a big thing when we have these kind of problems is what are we doing in our regular life that's causing or reproducing some of the things. We'll have somebody come in and have a problem and they'll take care of it. And I said, did you do the exercise that I asked you to do? Did you do the things to strengthen, to stabilize so you're not putting pressure and making more? No. So it's like, you know what it is working with patients. Like half of them, and when you ask them to do something, they don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come back complaining about the same things. And I ask you to do it? No, I didn't. So there's a lot of things of cultures we've got to change a little bit, making ourselves sit better, exercising more, dietary aspects. There's so many different things to work on with this problem.
Well, I know a lot of those aspects are what you're going to talk about on Wednesday night as well, too.
Yeah.
So covering a lot of information during that time. And essentially also I think we should go into a little bit afterwards, just the different types of causes that we don't think of, and the metabolic stuff too. Like you started to mention, like how is dietary stuff starting to fit into chronic joint pain? Even children, we're seeing increased rises in, you know, kids having arthritic changes and
one
stuff.
One of my favorite subjects is blue zones.
Okay, we're going to get...
That fits right into it.
When we come back, we're going to learn about blue zones from Dr. Lamp, because it sounds like a gadget thing, and he'd probably be the best one to do it.
Yep.
We're going to be back. This is the Dr. Tom Rozelle Live Show, and feel free to give us a call if you have a question, and we'll be back in just a second. And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are live in studio. I'm Dr. Stephanie Pina, and I'm here with Dr. Scott Lamp. And he is going to be your presenter this Wednesday night at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax, Virginia. And he's going to be talking about chronic arthritis, different facts, different figures, different things naturally that we use to treat and diagnose, and a lot of great information. And I have a funny feeling that this one is going to be one that gets pretty packed. So how do you sign up for it? You can do it two different ways. You can call the office and leave a message to us, and we'll give you a call back to confirm your appointment, your seat there. And it's going to be 703-698-7117. Again, that number is 703-698-7117. And you can also go online to our website, RozelleCare.com. That's RozelleCare.com. And if you scroll down where it says the health educational lectures, it's a free lecture. You can click on that and sign up, and they'll get your email address and also confirm with you as well, too. So we hope to see you on Wednesday night. Definitely want to reserve a seat because we're going to be packed, I have a feeling. Dr. Lamp,
yeah.
You left us on a question, and we want to know from you, what is the blue zone?
I thought we were going to talk about red zones. but never mind.
Well, we mentioned the gray zone, but...
Well, blue zones is actually something that started with National Geographic. They were looking at, like, you know, where are the people in the world that live the longest? And you know, those people that live prevalently have a higher ratio of people that lived about, over 100. And there's different places across the country, across the world, and they wanted to see what the overlaps of what those people were. So you're looking at, like, Okinawa, Japan, and you're looking at, like, Costa Rica, and the Seventh Adventist out of California, Numa Linda, California, and Sardinia, Italy. And they overlooked the overlaps of these things, and it's amazing that there's quite a bit of few similarities that happened between those. One being, they seem to eat or have a lot of omega-3s in their diet. So when we talk about arthritis, you're talking about, okay, pressure's on it, but what's the lubrication? And when you have the oils and some things in their bodies, it's important that also are anti-inflammatory and things of that nature. You've got those things like that that's happening there. Plant-based diets. Pretty much. They're looking at being not stressed as much as everybody else, and they're all moving. And so the basic things on arthritis that we expand upon in this lecture on Wednesday, the basic tenets are going to be, well, can I have heat and can I do some exercise or movement? These people are doing to the nth degree, and they're doing full range motion, not just isolated motion, not like me, like walking forward and not going side to side, and additional movements that will have feed the body that is it's supposed to be needed.
So again, it sounds like they're almost getting not only the nutritional side and the movement, and also probably all those areas sound very nice to live in, less stress.
On the water and those kind of things. And it's interesting seeing. And again, you know, you get people, and guess what? They're very low medication. So what gives?
Right. Because we know a lot of people, and a lot of patients that come in too, you know, they've been on different medications, some of them that have been pulled from the market over the years, because they're seeing some of these other effects on the body, especially the heart, as a way to decrease inflammation. But then also you're seeing, you know, the newer biologics come in, which are basically shutting off the immune system in order to prevent some of that wear and tear and damage and chronic inflammation. You know, we have patients that come in all the time that are either on those, have been told about them, or worse off, they saw the commercial on them and they also heard all the funny side effects that go along with them. But, you know, they go to their doctor and say, hey, I saw this. What can I know about it? But, you know, we don't get the commercials for the simple stuff like movement.
Right, right. And it's amazing. Some of these things, well, just take a pill. You know, I could take acetaminophen or take an NSAID or something like that. It's an easy thing to take and get the pain goes away. You don't really realize what happens with that medication. The medication, what it does is stops the whole inflammatory tree. Part of the anti-inflammatory and pro-inflammatory are together. There's something called prostaglandins. Those hormones are there. That shuts the whole thing down. And over a period of time when you do that, you start messing with how the body heals. And can you heal? And immune systems get affected. So I think the overall picture is just putting something in there and make that back, and now I get bad material in my joint space, which just accelerates more of the problem. So I think we got to have to understand that, you know, eating right, doing those things the right way, getting the anti-inflammatory type things off, all these things are really, really important to make this thing kind of work a little bit better.
Yeah, starting with some of the simplistic things instead of the most complicated things that are out in the market now. It's
right.
going back to the basics, really.
Right.
So chronic arthritis is going to be the topic for this Wednesday, and no better person to do this than the very knowledgeable Dr. Scott Lamp. And when we get back to, I think we should cover some of the kind of oddball 200 or so, we won't go through all of them though, conditions of arthritis. I don't want to give away your whole lecture. That wouldn't be good. But we're going to come back and continue talking about this topic. And if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call live in studio here, 888-630-9625. Again, that's 888-630-9625. You're listening to Dr. Tom Wazell Live, and we are happy to take your questions, and we're going to continue to talk about chronic arthritis and what you can do about it naturally. We'll be back in just a moment.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are live in studio today talking about a very common issue, arthritis, and how it affects not only your joints, but all the other things that are attached to it. And who better for me to talk to is going to be your guest presenter this Wednesday night, November the 17th at 7 p.m. at the Rosella Center for Healing is Dr. Scott Lamp. Dr. Lamp, you've been in practice for how long now?
Too long.
Too long. Okay, good question.
And 95, whoever you figure that out.
Okay. So. Someone can call in with that answer, and they'll win a spot to your lecture on Wednesday night.
You get the front row seat.
There you go. We'll save it for you. Winner of how long he's been in practice for. Do you feel like over the last number of years, when you've seen patients come in, is arthritis and joint issue increasing, or are you seeing it kind of be one of the things that people are asking more questions about?
Probably a combination of both. I think every year, I think you see more and more. I think each decade, you probably get another increase of those. It's getting harder and harder to treat. I think there's more and more complications that put into it, and I think you can put a lot of those type of things from various stresses that happen on the body. So I'm definitely seeing probably each decade it's getting worse. There's an interesting thing that I was reading on, talking about arthritises through the years, especially when we talk about some odd things that have an effect, and we talk about bifidobacteria, and they're saying there may be a relationship of that to arthritis. And it's actually a good bacteria in the body, and also some of the precursors or things that feed the good bacteria that are missing that when you give antibiotics. And it seems to be a huge increase of arthritic type problems after World War II. Well, what was introduced in World War II? Antibiotics.
Right.
And so the antibiotics, and now we're starting to find more and more. You probably have about 1,000 articles that happen a month that come out in nutrition talked on based on what's the benefit of these bacteria and things that are in our system. You know, in leaky gut, leaky brain, you hear these different type of things. That these, if these are working well, how much they really have an effect on so many different aspects of our body. And now they're looking at maybe it's arthritis, because the arthritis jumped tremendously before World War II. Now you can argue there's some, you know, soldiers that injured and put a lot of injury on themselves, but the other people who were not part of that situation are seem to be showing some of these problems too.
So it's interesting you bring that up, that, you know, we're looking at other parts of the body, like you said, the gut, the immune system,
right,
their effects, finding like almost a weak spot that possibly is something that's overworked, overused, that inflammation is showing up there and starting to tear it down. But that's what gets focused on is the joint itself. And when we go to a rheumatologist, they're going after that particular spot saying, okay, let's stop this growth. But really, we got to look at the rest of the system like we always talk about.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things we think about arthritis being, you know, oh, cracking bones that we talked about before and swelling and joints and stuff. How about sciatica? How about carpal tunnel? How about headaches? There's things called sclerotogenous pain, which means that if you have an injury to a ligament, especially in some parts of the neck, then you feel that pain that might be on the outside, like a dull ache that's around the, like on where the patch would be on the lateral aspect of your shoulder. That could very well be an arthritic type problem, that ligaments is broken down. It's not being able to contain or hold what it's supposed to do and has that kind of problem associated with it. Sciatica is usually what's it cause? Is it a joint out of place, pinching that nerve coming down? Is it a disc that's out of place that's happening? Well, the disc is out of place by definition. If you look at the joint, that's arthritis. So there's a lot of different things on wear and tear. And as I said, it's pressure, how much pressure is being put on the system, how stabilizes the system, how alignment of the system is supposed to be, how much repetition is down on it, and how much lubrication and what kind of lubrication you're getting. Are you getting the right lubrication, synovial fluids and things of that nature? Omega-3 is an interesting animal. When we talked about, we run a program in our office called BrainSpan, and they're using the omega-3s in the sense of keeping the cells in the brain to be flexible so they can actually tolerate more concussion-type forces for the military. It's one of those things that's actually kind of developed for. But also some of those things get flexibility in things of other tissues. And, you know, and again, they're anti-inflammatory on top of that. Wow, that's a great combination mix right there. And it's one of those amazing things that, you know, make things work.
Yeah, and you also see, I would say, some of the more common, say, supplements and stuff out there on the market that they talk about for brain stability and right. putting high lubrication back into there as well, too.
Right.
You know, they all seem to have that anti-inflammatory component, but they might be working it, the immune system, a slightly different way. And,
right.
you know, I know you're going to talk about, I know you were finding lists of foods and stuff that affect different parts of the immune system. And that's complicated itself because people think, oh, if I eat the... just this one list of anti-inflammatory foods, I should be fine. But what if they have a reaction to that food and a sensitivity to it?
Yeah, I think the thing we also talk about when we're talking about let's mention something about osteoarthritis first, autoimmune type of arthritis.
Rheumatoid arthritis is the most common.
But there's also autoimmune ones there. Psoriatic arthritis is some of the other ones that are there that have they got an autoimmune response. And that means the body attacks itself. It goes after something in the lining, the synovial lining, which is the kind of lubricating lining, goes at the cartilages, break down there, where osteoarthritis is more of kind of a wearing down. It's just like, you know, a wear down for over a period of years or something of that nature, then eventually can cause inflammation because secondarily that tissue might tear something else and cause an inflammation. But the autoimmune, what we'll talk about, there's going to be something we're going to talk about on Wednesday called TH1 and TH2 responses. It's like, is the irritation going inside a cell and going after that way, or is it an inflammatory, like an allergy-type reaction on the outside part of the cell? And I can eat certain foods that promote one side and not the other. And what are all the other players in the game? And I'm going to go all through that. I got to leave something for the lecture. But there's other players in the game that actually help with that to maintain those. So there's a lot of biochemistry we're going to talk about, along with the structural aspect we have to do with taking care of this.
Well, I think one thing that's interesting, and you really see this whether it's arthritis or just people coming in pain in general, and we're talking about movement, is one of the things that holds them up is just saying, if I'm in pain or I have this joint that's really painful or has already even physically started to change,
right.
like you would see with a rheumatoid arthritis or even gout, which follows under a chronic arthritic condition.
Yep.
We would think so. We think it's a whole nother thing, but really it's one of them.
Right.
You know, how am I supposed to move if I'm in pain? So where do you start with kind of getting a patient like that back into the process of healing again?
Well, I think first off, again, try to control things with anti-inflammatory type things. We kind of look at that. So on the chemistry side, how do we kind of tone that down? Let's not keep feeding the monster. And that's going to be, we got to go back to the gut. And one of the inflammatory things is if I'm eating a food that's constantly causing inflammation, holding me to retain water. By the way, another way to kind of lose weight is get rid of all those guys that are irritating you so the body doesn't have to keep on holding water to flush things. And so you get some of those things there. I think it's also interesting to take a look at how the body has turned certain things off. I look at the muscular balance. Sometimes a muscle will turn off to protect itself so it doesn't have any more irritation. So it's like, get an example. I see a lot of times with people with hamstrings being tight. Is the hamstring doing its job? If it's contracting, it might be compensating for, let's say, maybe a groin muscle that's not doing its work. It was irritated or having a problem, or maybe something else happened in the knee, or maybe the quad had a problem or whatever. Then all of a sudden that muscle tightens up. And what we want to look at is make sure everything's balanced, everything's taking the proper load, and then looking at stability. But first off, you got to get them out of pain. Try to get some of the muscular tone back to the body so it balances out a little bit more, then work on structural work, which takes a little bit longer.
So it's interesting when you bring that up, because a lot of times what I was just thinking in my mind is I feel like we're explaining what happens when someone's like post-surgical and they're going to like a physical therapist and they're trying to basically come back from
right.
the surgery that I'm supposed to fix this issue, because so many people come in and go, okay, I've tried this. I was told surgery has to be the way to go. But everything you're talking about happens all after the fact and
right,
probably
right.
leaves out the nutrition part. And also we see these patients coming in before and kind of going, what do I do with that? Because we've seen that surgery isn't always the answer.
Well, there's some, obviously there's major side effects that happens with those. And when you're changing structural components, and I think the other thing that what we do really well in the office is looking at the whole body, the whole person. Really look at the gait and the movement and factors. Because, again, if you got something that's unstable, then it's going to start showing itself out. Like, say, maybe somebody's walking and they're not planting their foot correctly, their gait, they're not hitting the foot the right way, they're not transferring their weight, their toe's not coming off. What's happening on the other side of the body? And again, stride's really important in how well you're working your stride and how you're moving, and the fluid movement of the body is great. I had a guy just recently in today that was in the office today, and was just watching him walk and trying to change his posture and just bringing his shoulders back, and all of a sudden his arms are moving, his legs are striding better, his chest wall is going back and forth, is moving better. So what happens is it starts opening up where he's really tight, he's in his chest. And how to get all, open that up is open up these other parts, get the legs moving, get these other things. You don't put wear and tear and then locking up in that thoracic spine and right in the middle of his back. And when you get that opening, all of a sudden you start seeing all the other systems working. It's kind of cool.
And looking at, like, the pain isn't always, you know, X marks a spot.
Right, exactly.
Where is it coming from? What's the source of it? Where do we go from here type of thing, too?
Well, knee surgeries. I mean, there's a large number of knee surgeries where the person goes and gets the arthroscopic scope, and they think they take care of it. And one of the problems with that is I think sometimes when they kind of clean the bone, they pull off the proprioceptor receptors. And what proprioception means is it gives input from that joint to your head to figure where you are in space. I'm going to take some of that out. and how am I going to stabilize that?
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to stabilize if you don't get sensory information coming back. So trying to get that sensory element back into position to make that work a little better is critical. Now, it doesn't say that sometimes you need to take something maybe out of the joint if need be. If there's a joint mouse, and joint mouse is usually a piece of cartilage just floating around getting entrapped. But if you make that pristine and clean in there, what am I removing? That sometimes that surgery can get in the way.
It's funny thinking of a different aspect as well, too, when patients are coming in, because obviously, you know, this is something that they may have been dealing with for a while,
right.
Lifetime. They may not have found their answers yet or even found, you know, where's my resources to look out to and stuff. So there's actually increased risks of things like anxiety, depression, heart disease, high blood pressure with associated with arthritis as well, too. So we know there's the inflammation factor.
Lots of overlaps.
But
right.
Exactly. There's so many other aspects to look at this, because if you can't move, you can't function, you can't do what you want to do, quality of life is going to decrease just like any other chronic healthcare condition.
Yeah. I can't catch my breath, so I'm not going to do an exercise. What's one of the things? Again, we said in the beginning of the program, one of the best things you can do is heat and, heat and movement. Well, I can't move. You know, that's a definite division or block in the way of trying to get yourself better.
Absolutely. We're going to go to the phones right now. Angela, thank you for calling in. How can we help you?
Thank you. It's been 24 years for him. That's how long he's been practicing.
All right.
Okay,
you won the free
you.
Seat.
Okay.
It's going to be the gold chair when you come in.
Okay. So I have osteoarthritis.
Yeah.
And I'm in constant pain. I'm walking. I look like an old woman when I look at my image when I walk past a mirror or something. I'm walking like an old woman. I'm in so much pain constantly. Right now, I just take Tylenol.
Right.
So what food should I avoid? I'm in the process of losing weight, and how much does weight play a part in that? And will I always be like this? Will I have to get will I have to have surgery?
So, Angela, the way you kind of look at it is if you're breathing, you have a chance. And so we'll say the first part of it. The secondly is, yes, weight does play a part. I've talked a couple times already about pressure and lubrication and repetitiveness. And what happens is if you have too much pressure, alignment plays a big part, especially on the knees. You got to take a look at what's happening at your ankle, what's happening at your hip, because if I don't plant my foot right, I can put torque on my knee. So usually when we take a look, I've done a lot of sports work, usually about 80% of the times when you have a knee problem that's not from a direct injury, it's coming from an ankle and a hip. So you got to take a look at those first. The second thing is we're looking at chemistry, and it's kind of hard to say which foods would be good or not because everybody's a little bit different. There's different body types and blood types and things like that, so it's hard to kind of put a label directly on that. But the top 4-5 foods that you might want to think about considering that people have problems that cause inflammatory elements would be like things like gluten, soy, corn, and dairy. And those are things that might be something that might be causing additional problems. I've had people that literally taking certain foods out of their diet, and all of a sudden they get like a 50% reduction in pain. The other thing is, What are you doing if you're taking something as a medication that kind of blocks the normal kind of process of the body? You're also blocking the actually the anti-inflammatory parts of the body too that are natural in your body, and actually make sure those are put in place. And, you know, that's kind of the way to look at it is you got to look at it multiple systems. You got to make sure the body's got aligned correctly. You've got to look at any scar tissue to kind of break through that. You got to balance the muscles, and then you got to look at the chemistry strongly there and look where those things are happening, especially things that might be affecting your gut that's going to have an effect on that knee.
Okay.
That's a lot of stuff. But the problem is we got to be able to see you a little bit to see what the answer is. Because it was interesting today, and I've had two people over the last week on knee problems. There is a relationship between, and this gets a little bit deeper here, there's a relationship between certain organs and muscle relationships. And there's a muscle called the popliteus. It runs in the back of the knee and keeps women, especially you see it in women, hyperextending their knee and keeping the knee secure. And it's related to the gallbladder. And I've had two people where we stimulate the gallbladder and the person drops his cane and he walks and he doesn't have any pain. So there's these feedback loops that happen with those. So you probably need to be checked a little bit more, but those are some of the ideas I would have. I mean, you're welcome to come and call us at the office.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like good thing you won the golden seat, because he's going to go over everything in there. So it's a perfect question, because I mean, this is the type of patients that we see in the office all the time, and they've started to do what they possibly can, but they need that little bit more examination from a different set of eyes, look at it a little bit differently, and then have something to start right away that they can do, as well as looking at the long term as well.
Yeah.
And I always think about it, like when I see the same patients that we share, is as you're trying to open up and kind of get the alignment going, get those mm-hmm. muscles and stuff turned on, I'm looking at it from an acupuncture standpoint going, how do I get blood flow to the ones that are compensating?
Right.
And how do we get the inflammation down so that also helps to relieve some of the pain response as well too? So a lot of different aspects go into treatment.
And one thing more than to keep the acupuncture simple, I hate to say keeping it simple, is that you use it to actually, it's more like people talk about energy and chi, but it's more like getting blood flow to it. You need to get healing. You need to get blood flow to those areas, and that works pretty well. So I hope, Angela, I hope that kind of answered your question for you.
All right. Tell me a little bit more. We were talking to go into this a little bit about some of the issues that we have with different types of how different types of arthritis go along, like the metabolic stuff. And we're going to, when we come back from the break, I want to see how if we can wrap that in there so that people understand there's probably more types than just the osteoarthritis and the rheumatoid arthritis that
over
you're going to be covering.
100. So
get your list, get ready to start, right?
Yeah.
We're going to be back in just a moment, and we're talking about arthritis with Dr. Scott Lamp.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
And welcome back to the Dr. Tom Rizzo Live Show. We are live in studio talking with Dr. Scott Lamp, who's going to be your presenter this Wednesday night, November the 17th at 7 p.m. at the Rizzo Center for Healing, discussing chronic arthritic pain, how we treat it, how we diagnose it, and a lot of different fun facts and information that goes along with it. We were leaving before the break and kind of talking, there's numerous types of arthritis out there, over 200 different types. And we just wanted to kind of throw out some of the names that you've probably actually heard about, or you might have had your doctor actually mention too. Why are we doing that? Because you're going to be a great candidate to come into the lecture, and we hope to see you on Wednesday as well too. So Dr. Lamp, are you going to take it away with your list?
Well, we're just going to do some like a short list of some of those things, but we're also, the most common is osteoarthritis, which probably a little bit of everybody would expect in their lifetime as you get to a certain age. But there's lupus, there's ones associated with Lyme disease, there's mixed connective tissue diseases. There's things in regards to osteogenesis imperfecta. That's more of a genetic predisposition. Paget's disease. We've got inflammatory bowel diseases associated with arthritis. We've got things like Crohn's disease, carpal tunnel. We talked about that before. Ankylosing spondylitis. We have juvenile arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis. We got scleroderma, sarcoidosis, Sjogren's, soft tissue disease, Still's disease. The list goes on. There's a huge amount of things there.
We know that all those have those key factors that we have to look at, the structural, chemical, mental, emotional.
Exactly.
And those of you that are very familiar with the mantra that Dr. Rizzo always talks about, The chemicals, soda, tea, no sugar, fried food, fast food.
Yeah, the one that's on the T-shirt I'm supposed to receive.
Yeah, the T-shirts that are out there. So, but we know that that all plays into a fact, so that's a great place to start on there, too. We're going to go to the phones real quick. Diane from Alexandria, how can we help you?
Hi. I have recently, well, about a year ago, I had x-rays. I was told I have osteoarthritis in a hip.
Okay.
We did an MRI, and I just recently found that I have a labral tear.
Okay.
And that is probably causing the arthritis. The injury is probably 20 years old, and it's obviously taking its toll now. So I have two questions. First of all, short of surgery, is there anything else I can do to alleviate some of the pain? Originally, I've been told, oh, you know, just take pain medicine and stuff. I could work through it. But I'm not really interested in aggravating whatever is causing the pain more just because I don't feel it.
Diane, we have a short time. I don't want to cut you off here. One of the things is you can do some things. Labral tear is going to cause some instability. So remember, we talked about instability causes some problems for the arthritis. But with that said, you can strengthen the system up quite a bit. You can also look at, we haven't had a chance to talk to really, and it's Tom's probably going to be better off of talking about this when he gets back in, but stem cell is one of those things you can take a look at as a possibility. There's some things you can possibly work with that there. But you can always work on trying to maintain, get the better joint as much as possible, get the inflammatory elements like we talked about. Each case is a little bit different. You've got to take a look. Sometimes there's things that are complicated, sometimes not. Labrum tears can do well with the right type of exercise program and balancing your musculature, like you're not over-pulling on one side versus another and finding out what it happened in the first place.
Yeah, and it brings up a good point that chronic injuries that we've had a long time ago are not always treated right at the source, but now come back to haunt us, essentially, if we don't take care of it properly.
Right. What's the compensation that caused it in the first place?
Right.
So, I mean, you might have three or four layers of compensations that got you to this place in the first way.
So great call, Diane. I know Dr. Lamp is curious on your second question, and hopefully you'll definitely come in into the lecture. For those of you who want to sign up again, remember, give us a call at 703-698-7117 to sign up, or go to roselcare.com, roselecare.com. Click on the link and sign up to listen to Dr. Scott Lamp this Wednesday night, your host, on November 17th at 7 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon.
Take care, all.